Hey guys, how are you doing? This is Richard Sachs at Lost Arts Radio Live. Hope you've had a good week and everything's going well for you. That world events are going so fast, it's almost impossible to keep up with everything. I mean, Doug, our engineer and producer who's keeping this show going, has just sent me the inspirational notice that Black Lives Matter just got nominated for a Nobel Prize for Peace. Because I haven't had time to look into it too deeply, but the inspiration of them showing the whole world that social justice is so important that, you know, if you have to beat people up and kill them and burn down their businesses, it's really worthwhile and a sign of love and understanding that you do that, because all races have to be appreciated, some of them by doing unpleasant things to them. But anyway, the inspiration to the whole world has obviously spread across the planet, which brings up some other observations that, you know, this place has been compared to a mental hospital, not just in that movie. Whose movie was that? That One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? You know, that was actually... the patient was in a mental hospital. This is just a bigger one. And I'm thinking, all right, how do we use that as an opportunity? And with all the completely insane stuff that's happening, what is the silver lining in the situation? And I've heard a lot of great analysts saying, well, the global rulers are really scared now because everybody's waking up and they're terrified because people are finding out what's happening. And I don't know. I don't see that many signs of them being that terrified right now. It looks to me like they're just cracking down and all excited about finishing us off. And you know they're not too smart anyway, because anybody who is truly intelligent would not be trying to exterminate life on a planet. It's what you call not very good karma. You know, if you don't like the karmic paradigm, you can say, well, if you know about reaping what you sow, which is a universal law of existence here on this planet and probably most other places on this dimension, that sowing the seeds of exterminating life is not a way to get wonderful rewards according to natural law. And they're not smart enough to know that. And that really brings up the fact that there are different kinds of intelligence. There are a lot of people that are, you know, they have really high IQs, some of them just amazingly high, and they can do calculations really quickly, and they can look, you know, the old IQ test that measured pattern recognition. They'd show you five pictures in sequence, and they say, all right, here's like a number sequence or a picture sequence. The number sequence may be easier for some people. It depends the way that you tend to perceive data, but if you saw 1, 2, 4, 8, 16 for the first four numbers, what's the next number? 32, yeah, because they're doubling every time. See, that's pattern recognition. And if you see pictures where, like, a stick figure with a character with one leg, and then the next picture he has two legs, and the next picture he has two legs and an arm, and the fourth picture says, well, what should this picture be? And it should be two arms, you know, because that's the sequence that you're being shown. That's the kind of thing in real basic examples and terminology that they measure in IQ tests. And then they put a number on it and see how smart you are, right? And if you say 1, 2, 4, 8, and you have no idea, or the pictures of the stick figures and you just have no idea what would come next, then you get a lower score. That's one kind of intelligence. Doesn't mean you're a good or a bad person at all. It just means this is your proficiency at doing calculations, recognizing patterns, sequences, and stuff like that. There's a lot of, excuse me, people that get really high scores on that kind of test, and they're playing major roles in destroying the world. And you would think, wait a minute, wasn't that person supposed to be really smart? And now they're, you know, a high-level banker overseeing very unpleasant ceremonies of types that are not at your local, you know, corner bank. I mean, it's not like that. These are the high levels of control around the world are not connected to any particular country, or at least they don't have allegiance to any particular country. They have a connection to an intergenerational program that I've looked at back through recent history, to, you know, 10, 20,000 years of our past here, and it's been developing all along that time period. It's not like they didn't want to destroy the world back then. They just didn't have the technology developed. Oh, but now they do. And so that's what's basically unfolding. If you want to boil things down to the simplest common denominator, so to speak, it's they're proceeding on with their ceremonial sacrifice of the biosphere, not just humans, not just you, all life on Earth, but themselves included. That's, I can't see any indication that that's not exactly what's happening. If they wanted to wipe us out quickly, they now have the technology to do that. We would be gone tomorrow night in different environments, you might say, because the idea of dying is not what they tell you it is, but that's another story. Anyway, the fact that it's ceremonial, it's not about money or power or anything like that. It's a, in their mind, it's a spiritual thing, and they kind of miss that middle part about, well, if you're achieving your spiritual goal by intentionally killing all life on a planet, it's probably not going to get you a very good result. They didn't comprehend that. They're convinced that they're above the law. And so when I look at what's happening in the world, I see implications of that overall program known only at their top levels. And then there are different motivations given to the ones below them, you know, which are money and power, because those work really well. Fear works really well, too. It's been used by political authorities, church authorities, all, any kind of group, corporate authorities. They all use it because it works great. And people are really susceptible to fear. And I think the reason is because we don't remember who we are. If you had to have a bottom line reason for being susceptible to fear, I think that's the reason, because when you get born into one of these living costumes they call physical bodies, and it takes, you know, roughly 9 months to weave all the consciousness together with the nervous system and all the other systems in the body. By the time that's done and you come out and see, wow, what's this place, you know, the physical world and all these new colors, and oh, these must be my hands and I can move them around like that, and you forget everything. You think that's who you are, and you intuitively know that the physical body is vulnerable to all kinds of unpleasant events and accidents and, you know, limitations and stuff. And so fear comes up because you think, oh, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not pure spirit anymore. I'm a piece of living flesh that can be, you know, all kinds of things can be done to it at any time. And fear is usually a response to that. So I'm looking at all of this huge drama playing out, and some of the characters are the bad guys, you know, and not to be sexist here, it's bad women too, don't worry. They've proven in recent times especially that they can be just as horrible as men, so don't worry about inequality there. Some of the characters who are still pure, unlimited spirit beings created by God, they think they're the bad guys, and they think they're looking out through the lens, the colored lens of mind programs, just like all of us are to different extents. And their particular program says, okay, evil's really the way to go, because these silly people that believe in morality and treating others as you want to be treated and that sort of thing, those are just the superstitious people that don't know the real truth. It's like in Star Wars where the Emperor was telling Luke, you don't really know the power of the dark side. And these guys in the so-called real world, the dream that we're living in that looks solid and to our senses because they're tuned to that. We think are the people that choose evil, and especially the ones that progress in it and do the work required to get really advanced in doing terrible things. They think evil is the real way to get ahead, and the great power is the dark Lord that they worship, basically their version of God. It's really a bad mistake to do that. And you know, the people that are in levels below them have decreasing awareness of what they're doing. They don't really know who they're working for. At the lowest levels in these huge evil organizations that are controlled at the top to be destructive, most of the people working for them don't have any idea the real nature of what they're working for. And they're actually good. And a lot of people that have been gone through the public education system, and you know, whether it's public health or political science or whatever they've been trained in, they think that they're helping the world and serving humanity and all this stuff. And a lot of people actually who are even working for censorship, shutting down shows like ours and other ones that we're so small that we probably escaped most of the notice by now, other than shadow banning on the major platforms, which has been pretty severe, but we're still there at the moment. Even the ones that are working as monitors and censors and saying, oh, shoot, you violated the guidelines. We're so sorry. And we realize you're probably really disappointed and we have great compassion for you, but you can appeal it and we'll throw your appeal in the trash right away. And just to make sure that everything's fair, even the people working for that system, most of them have no clue that they're actually doing anything, you know, seriously negative. And they have a lot of friends to support them. And they kind of do it like entertainment, you know, and, oh, we got such a great job. All we have to do is harass people like that and we get our paycheck. And they don't know. Most of the people don't know. It brings back the old Bible quote, forgive them because they know not what they do. They really don't. And you could say, well, everybody knows what they do. I mean, you rob a bank, you know that you walked in the bank, you had a gun, you demanded money and you ran away and got in the getaway vehicle. And, you know, like in the Popeye cartoons or the others, all these people with striped shirts that are the bad guys and they race away in the getaway vehicle. Of course they know what they do. But they don't really. Because if we really knew what we did and the implications of it and the depth of what happens on an energy level, we wouldn't even want to hurt anybody's feelings. Not just because we didn't want the ramifications and the bad effects on us, but because we'd realize, oh wait, the person inside that costume is in essence exactly the same as me. I don't want them to have to suffer any more than I want myself to have to suffer. So what's this big thing going on this planet, you know, where there's so much suffering going on? And back to the title, you know, of the show that we put on, is there really any silver lining in all this and what's going on? I think there is. I'll give you a spoiler alert. The answer is yes, but I don't see it as being really what a lot of the people have been telling us, you know, that the dark side is so scared now. And maybe they are. I don't know. On a subconscious level, I think they're the most scared beings there are because fear is their whole environment that they work and live in. That's why it's so easy for them to spread it to everybody else. And so in a way, yeah, they're always the most scared beings that there are because that's what they breathe is fear. But I was looking for the silver lining because I wanted to do the show today and not just another thing. Well, this is happening. This terrible thing is happening and this terrible thing and this terrible thing. And this is how they all fit together. Isn't that brilliant? You know, how they're torturing and killing everybody. It's really impressive, which it is. And they have that first kind of intelligence, you know, the IQ type of intelligence, the tricky intelligence that can calculate everything and really figure out amazing plans for doing bad things. Yeah, they're just not too bright as far as choosing to intentionally keep doing bad things. You're supposed to learn your lesson and stop, which anybody, including them, can still do. So for those of you who may be monitoring us right now and deciding how much longer we should be visible on major platforms, you don't have to keep making really suicidal mistakes. That's not a requirement. I don't think it's a rule. And even if it was a rule, you don't have to follow it, because rules to destroy yourself are not valid, even though government would take exception with me on that. I'm sure in a lot of corporations as well. So I was looking around and thinking about today's show and thinking, yeah, what's the point of just commenting on all of this bad stuff, you know, and helping people to be discouraged? I don't think that's a good idea. And I don't mean that you should ignore what's going on. I think it's better to be aware of it, fully aware, but not dragged down by it. Because as soon as we do that, we play right into the agenda of the negative side, which is to demoralize us so we can't do anything. And then we just are basically passive while they do whatever they want, which I don't think is a very good plan. So I was trying to come up with something honest, you know, where it wouldn't be, oh, just don't pay any attention to all that bad stuff that's going on. You should feel fine anyway. But, you know, pay no attention to what you see all around you and the corruption, which, as demonstrated in the last fake election, that we're not allowed to say it's fake in the U.S., it brings up the point that these machines and these fake ballots, when needed, they've been used, no doubt, all the way down to the local level for a long time. And they're not in total control, because there have been some pretty good people that have been occasionally elected to various offices, including local levels. But for the most part, what I've been observing in cities and towns and states in America, because that's where we're talking from at the moment, but I'm sure it's true in most other places as well, is that even at the local level, these candidates, they're like really good actors, a lot of them, and they have the ability to come across as, you know, like almost being normal people. And like, they're really nice. They really care about you. That's why they're making this big sacrifice to run for office. And then they get in office, and I've been, you know, to some city council meetings testifying about the 5G and the smart meters before that, and other issues. And you see the city council people in the places I've been sitting up, raised above, you know, 5 feet above the rest of the audience or whatever it is, looking down on you and measuring your 3 minutes while they text on their cell phone, pointedly not listening to anything that you say. And I've watched people saying, you know, the 5G or whatever it is moving into our town. My husband and I are having these, you know, we can't sleep anymore. We're sick all the time. We have to sell our house. And what I really want to say about it, and the guy looks up from his cell phone and says, that's your 3 minutes. Thank you very much. Next. And if you're there, I mean, I don't know if you can feel what I'm trying to say there, but it's like a human being coming to the self-declared rulers that are supposedly elected and saying, you know, excuse me, but I'm being killed by what you're allowing to happen. And they say, next. And it reminds me, in California, where it was, what, SB 277, was it? People drove from all over the state to testify at the hearings in Sacramento. And what the rulers decided, what some lady who was in charge of that, of the protocol for the presentations, because people drove, you know, many hours to get there. Some brought their vaccine-injured kids and other people with them that they had to bring. And this lady, whoever, I don't remember her name, who was in charge for the government, said, well, there's too many of you. So to be fair, what we have to do is, instead of speaking, you can have the privilege of saying your name, yes or no for this bill, and then, you know, you can just drive home. It's only another 10 hours to get back. And that's how it went. And they pushed him through as fast as possible, with the ruler saying, name, yes or no, thank you, next. And they did that for the hours that they allocated for it. And it's starting to make sense, because the people that we thought were elected were probably put in with enhanced systems like we've seen working lately. And the ones they hire under them, you know, the bureaucrats that often are just as bad, you can't blame that on, you know, problems with an election. So there's just too many people that have gotten victimized, and they've totally fallen into the programming. And there's a lot of people that think, well, these people are just intrinsically bad. They're inherently evil. And that you've got good people and that you've got bad people, and that belief system is a justification to fight about everything, and you have permanent fighting. And it's not just that fighting is not a great plan for life on Earth, but it's based on a fraud. Anybody can fall into this programming, including us. So to look down on other people and say, well, they're just the bad people, we're good, we know what's happening, and those people are evil, various interpretations depending on a person's philosophy or religion, and they just all have to be destroyed. What that does is it takes away the qualities that you need to be conscious, such as compassion and empathy and the ability to perceive what's going on in a person who's doing evil, even intentionally. Because at the highest level, the people that can look at that and see what's going on is they know not what they do. It's really true. It wasn't just at the time when there were a couple of guys dying on crosses for murders they'd done, and the request was to forgive them because they didn't know what they did, even though they knew they killed innocent people. If you really understand that they know not what they do, it applies to everybody. And some people that really want to fight and just want to kill bad guys might feel really frustrated by that and say, look, you're ruining the whole drama. How can we kill these bad guys and enjoy it if we think they know not what they do? But they don't. So whatever strategy we have to come up with is going to have to take that into account. And that with the new, I guess they call him the president, you know, of the U.S., and a lot of people are hating him and saying not as only is he incompetent, but he's the mouthpiece of some very unpleasant CCP leaders and things like that are hating him. And he's signing things he hasn't read. He said on video that, hey, I have no idea what I'm signing. And the guy next to him says, don't worry, just sign it anyway. That is going on. And there's all these executive orders coming out designed to destroy America, no doubt. But it's not at the deepest level, the level that they know not what they do. It's really not his fault, because what if you were in his shoes with his cognitive issues and under the pressure and knowing that your whole life you've given it, sold out to evil, and now it's controlling you and threatening your family and has complete control? That would not be a fun position to be in, let alone being president of a country, even if you're emperor of the world. That would not be a good position, because at some level underneath, you know that something's going to happen as a result of this stuff. It's all cause and effect here. And you don't have to wait for God to come and punish everybody who's bad and reward everybody who's good. It's in operation now because of who we are. And when we're not true to that, we get consequences, sometimes immediately. And there's nobody there visibly punishing you, and it happens anyway. And to really understand that, how that works, your own consciousness is real, and it sees everything you do. And it sees what you think, and it sees what you say, and it sees how you feel about things and people and events, and everything sets in motion something else. It's kind of like Newtonian physics in that way, with the equal and opposite reaction, but it's way beyond that. It's beyond the quantum physics level. It's beyond all that stuff, but it's real and it's working in all of us, each of us, all the time. So again, I mean, the theme of this show was looking for silver lining. And the reason I still mention some of the negative things that are going on in the world right now, and the fake, terrifying pandemic and all this nonsense that's being used to take away everybody's rights. That's a long story, which also you're not supposed to know about that. So sorry I mentioned it. With all that going on, and with now with the new administration in the U.S., there will be a green light for more wars to happen in the Middle East and other places, and bad feelings exacerbated toward Russia, which has been really, you know, Russia, when Trump first won, was making overtures about, hey, why do we want to do this war stuff? We should do mutually beneficial trade agreements and help each other become prosperous. And that was Russia's overture. And it wasn't a secret. It was right out in the open public. And it was a really good idea. And that is the reason that the bad guys had to make Russia the big enemy of the U.S. And it wasn't. Russia had the goals of becoming the number one exporter of organic food, keeping Wi-Fi out of schools, helping people that just got married to get a start on land where they could farm. And I mean, amazing stuff. That's not really evil, okay? I mean, you can tell what evil is. It's really intentional, harmful stuff. And that wasn't. It wasn't expansionist. It wasn't anything like that. That's why Russia had to be demonized. So, I guess where I was going with that is that now there's even more hostility being greenlighted with between the U.S. and Russia, which endangers the world, and the rulers of China, not the Chinese people. I think the people in every country that I've met have been, just like everybody else, really great. They're subject to making mistakes and falling for evil on their own low level, you know, life experience. All of us have lessons to learn from that. Hopefully we learn. But it's the governments that are in charge, and the corporations now that have joined the governments, that are making the trouble. And that's coming from a globally coordinated plan that is complete destruction. And that's coming from non-human levels above that. And I don't just say that lightly. I've taken decades to dig into that and investigate it and see where it's coming from. But again, the purpose of the show was not to ignore that, you know, because if you find what you call a silver lining by being oblivious to what's really happening, you're going to make mistakes. You know, your strategic awareness is flawed. You don't really understand your environment. So I'm trying to not fall into that. You know, I know that the new administration in America and most places in the world, countries like France and the UK and Spain and so many others, are being ruled by, you know, mouthpieces of evil, basically. England, it looked encouraging with Johnson in the beginning. He was talking about freedom. Good thing to talk about and act on. And then he went into the hospital and apparently got a personality transplant, came out and was the opposite. And in most countries, that's true. I think some of them, very few, some like Poland, seem to be led by people who really want to serve the people. And yet even there, they are falling for this terrifying pandemic stuff, believing it's real, not even knowing where it came from, that it was a lab-generated organism. And even after that, it wasn't one of their bad ones, because they got a lot of bad ones they could release that would really be a problem. And this one wasn't. It's easily taken care of. And the protocols to do that are censored viciously, especially in the U.S., but all over the world. And yet doctors that have been demonstrating how to successfully deal with the few real cases are attacked. And if they stay alive, they're lucky. So we do have that going on. And I'm not trying to ignore that, any of that at all. When I say I'm looking for a silver lining, I mean a real one. Not one that you can say, oh, I don't see anything except harmony and peace and all that. When, you know, the opposite is happening, I'm not saying that that's a good way to do it. But I am going on the premise that there is a real silver lining in here. And when I try to see what it is with all these things going on, this and people falling for it, I mean, I have to acknowledge too, it's not just the people intentionally doing global harm that are falling into this hypnotic trance of, you know, oh, we're going to get so much reward by excelling at evil, which is really what they believe. That very top level bankers, I don't know if you guys in the mid-level of the banking system know about that, but at the top levels, it's not nice. Ronald Bernard talked about it a little bit, and there are people above where he got to that are doing things that you probably wouldn't even want to know about. But we need to know that this is this real situation with things. People at the top of these giant globalist corporations, they have really bad intent. And it is going on, and it, those are the people that have one kind of hypnosis and brainwashing. The people that on the other end, well, before the other end, the people in the system at the different levels, you know, like the people enforcing the health, the lockdowns of the societies that are designed, obviously, if you're not too educated to see it, it's obvious that it's for the purpose of destroying economies, destroying sovereign nations, and making people dependent on a universal basic income. And some of the people who are recently, I guess they call it educated out of the universities, I put quotes around that, are coming out thinking, wow, finally government's giving us free money. Obviously, you know, they should have been doing that all along. And they're finally coming to their senses that all they have to do is print money. And we've been promised that this advanced technological society, we won't even have to work. We'll just get free money. We can be creative. It's going to be wonderful. They've been educated in such a way to remove common sense, you know, and taught this specialized way of thinking that the only people who can understand economics, obviously, are economists. The only people who can understand health are doctors and maybe PhD health scientists. And then even then, the doctors and the health scientists have to be specialists. So there's a doctor who knows all about the heart or what's acceptable to know about the heart, but he or she doesn't know anything about any or the rest of the body. If you have any other symptoms that are not directly in your heart, then you go to a specialist who knows about joints or arms or livers or kidneys or things like that, or bladders or brains, you know, whatever. You go to all these other specialists, and this is not to make knowledge more advanced. That's not the point. The point is to make knowledge devoid of context so that you get these super expert people knowing about one subject and almost nothing about anything else except preconceptions that are wrong. And so their skill is perfectly set up to be misused, and they can be in a system like allopathic medical system, which is great for trauma and emergency care. And there's some incredible emergency room doctors that have been truly amazing in a good way. But the system in general, as far as what it's produced on health, is, you know, way beyond a disaster. And because these people are so specialized, they don't see it. That's another kind of hypnosis and programming. underneath that programmed medical person who's doing things that he believes that he or she believes that eating toxic chemicals, as long as you call them medicine, is the way to get healthy, they probably really believe that, most of them. It's not their fault. And they just have memorized that in order to understand anything, you can only understand a little tiny fraction of a big field as a specialist, and therefore you need teams of these specialists, also known as technocrats at different levels, that need to control our lives. But the fallacy in that, among others, is that each one of these participating technocrats has a very narrow area that they consider their expertise. Almost none of them oversee the big picture, and they're kept compartmentalized. We need to have not a specialized understanding, but a broad understanding of the whole picture that's going on. And with that knowledge of whatever is the real silver lining and how to use it. Because the only point in even talking about any of this stuff is making it better, fixing it, if possible, to the greatest degree that we can. Otherwise, why waste your time learning about what's happening if you can't do anything to make it better? These shows that just go on, you know, and it's not their fault, but because they're fulfilling a function that's important. But if they only go as far as what's terrible and not what to do, then it's short of a necessary component, which is our response. We need a purpose to be here. You know, we came from a much nicer place, which a lot of us don't remember, but some people do. And to be in the middle of whatever you want to call this drama, this looks a lot like a large mental hospital, actually. We need a purpose to be here. Otherwise, we could be in better places. And so there's different levels of the patients in this big hospital. The ones in charge intentionally hurting others, I mean, on a big scale, just mass destruction. Those guys knowingly serving evil, it's because they're really confused and they don't know it. That programming that they take as their evil identity, it's all fake. You guys, if you're listening, it's all fake. You get nothing out of it except suffering. And it's not above the law. Everybody who intentionally tries to mass murder planetary life and, you know, destroy the biosphere and everything, that has consequences, not just at some future day when, you know, the official judgment comes. You don't have to wait for that. It has consequences way before that. It affects your physical body because you're this costume that we're wearing, it's conscious. It's not just a piece of meat with blood flow. And it's listening to you all the time. And if you're totally given over to evil, your body doesn't escape that. So you really want to reconsider if you're in some level of involvement with that, even if you're in the lower levels of serving in the UN or the health agencies or education. Always feels funny to me that they call it this, but you know what they call the educational system, and you're involved in brainwashing kids, or you're involved in some enforcement agency connected with health that tells people that, well, to be really benevolent and humanitarian, you should wear a breathing obstruction device over your mouth and your nose, because otherwise you could breathe normally through one or the other. And now, seeing that people are so dumbed down that they go along with that stuff, I mean, that's like, it should be shocking that anybody would wear one of those things. We're supposed to be intelligent creatures. Check it out, you know, does it hurt you or help you? And there have been great, what do you call them? Like short papers written by people like Dr. Russell Blaylock. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny has talked a lot about it. These are really not just smart people, people in the IQ sense. These are people who are pretty aware of what's going on in the real world and practically oriented, which is way above impractical high intelligence. And they're saying, well, let's see, what does the breathing obstruction device do? It cuts down the oxygen levels that are behind this device below the OSHA minimum standards for a workplace. You wear one of those for many hours and it's not good for your brain. It hurts your immune system. It, you know, it's not really a smart idea. It doesn't prevent transmission of any kind of viral disease because the viruses are, regardless of how you interpret viruses, some people think they're different things, but or they don't exist. But if you think they do exist and they cause disease, they're so small, they go right through the holes in the mask. And what authorities are starting to recommend now and maybe require is that you don't just wear one of these breathing devices, breathing obstruction devices. You wear two or three or four or five. And actually, if you could wear 10, it would really be a lot better from their point of view. And the holes are still big. So viruses, if you believe they cause disease, do still go right through them, of course. But the real effect, which is cutting down oxygen and increasing the rebreathing of CO2, which is very important. Patrick Wood has been on our show talking about that. I mean, anybody who's coherent and paying attention is aware of that. CO2 is really great for plants. It's not a problem for the planet. It's at a real low point in the atmosphere right now. If you, the people that are really terrified because of programming that CO2 is going to wipe out life on Earth, they're looking at a zoomed in graph of CO2 and levels that are in the Earth right now. And if you zoom out a bit and do a longer time frame, CO2 is really low right now. It's perilously low. And that's why nowadays to grow really healthy food plants or flower plants in a greenhouse, if you want them to grow better, you bring in extra CO2 because they really want it. They absorb it right up like food. They breathe it in like we do oxygen. And it makes them much healthier and much greener. At times when the CO2, which is way down here, has been really high, the earth has been lush, and the plant growth has been great, but there's no correlation between CO2 percentage and temperature worldwide. That's completely false, and I can say that because I've really looked at all the graphs myself, and they can be cherry-picked to prove whatever you want, but that's not honest. And if you, there's a few scientists willing to risk their whole reputation and maybe their lives. Dr. Easterbrook, who I've invited on the show, but he's got personal family health situations that he has to deal with, and I respect that. He's busy with that. But he gave a long talk, which we've posted on lostartsradio.com as a video. It's a great talk. I think it's probably still on YouTube. I'm pretty sure it is. And they don't recognize that it's a threat or that most of us aren't smart enough to realize the implications of what he's explaining. So it's still up. And you just put in Don Easterbrook, something like climate change or global warming or something like that. And it's in Oregon. I don't remember the city, but it's in Oregon. It's a really great talk. And you can see the panel of state government people in the agencies are saying, this guy's really crazy. And what about all these real figures of, you know, CO2 is going to kill us because it's so high and everything. And he says, well, I don't know about that, but here's the real figures. And the ones you're referring to are not the original pure figures. And here they are. If you're interested and you'd like to see them, he came across with no ego in it. It's not me against you. Real science has no trace of ego. When you see these specialists representing different science of different points of view in so-called science, if they're obviously, you know, would like to kill each other and are carrying that kind of energy, those are not scientists. They don't even know the basics of science. They've memorized acceptable material in their so-called education, And that has taken the place of real science. Real science not only doesn't have ego in it, it says, if I find out my point of view on something is wrong, that's great, because I'm one step closer to knowing what's right. And we both respect each other in a discussion. We know that it's not just the other guy that's an idiot and a fool and, you know, all this stupid ad hominem attack taking the place of science. It's like, well, I probably have misconceptions too. And let's help each other. Let's have a debate where both people are on the same side. It's just that it looks different to each one of them. And they're honestly sharing it and saying, okay, this is what it looks like to me. This is how I came to the conclusion. How does it look to you? Imagine debates held like that. It would be incredible. But it would require at least somewhat conscious participants. And when you have people that are so far from science that all they want to do is show that each other are complete fools, you can't, it's a waste of time debate unless it's, you want to see it like fake pro wrestling or something like that. It's kind of that kind of idea. But if you're interested in real science, which is worth being interested in, then those people can't even participate. It's got to be a real scientist who says, I just want to know what's true. I don't want to prove I'm right. I want to know what's true. And if I'm right, okay, that's interesting. Then we go to the next step. If I'm wrong, great. You know, I'm not attached to it. And I say, oh, this is the way to understand it. Thank you to the other debating participant for helping me clarify that. That's great. We're both humans. I mean, theoretically anyway. And we have the same ultimate concerns and requirements for life, families, things like that. So if what's happening, you know, that's the programming of that mid-level where people were educated through this system that teaches us to have no common sense, to disrespect how things feel, which is our big, huge clue about whether they are going to have good or bad results. If you learn to be really conscious of how things feel to you and then start watching for correlation between that and what you do and what the result turns out to be, you'll learn that you've got, you know, it's an extension, I guess, of what people call conscience. And it can guide you a lot. And it comes straight from where you came from, which is where people call God. And if it gets the fog removed from it and it gets clear again, it can really help you get better experiences and results in your life and show you what you're, you know, you're making a mistake here. You don't want to keep going in that direction because you're not going to have a good time with that. And neither is anybody else connected. It's going to hurt the people you care about. So you might want to try to learn and change. And we're all going through that constantly. There's no place for arrogance once you realize the process, because we've all been complete idiots. And it doesn't mean that we're bad. It means we don't have to hate anybody because we've done as stupid things as anybody else. The arrogance thing is a mistake based on nothing. So those are two levels of programming that are going on in this giant mental hospital between the highly educated people and the people on top who are doing bad things on purpose, thinking that that's going to get them somewhere good that they want to go. The third level is the people on the most of us down, you know, in the general run of the population that are trusting that total nonsense from authority figures must be right, and we're just too dumb to realize, you know, how brilliant it is. And so if they say to wear 10 breathing obstruction devices on our faces, or any, and that's going to stop the spread of disease, we say, oh my God, that's a medical authority and a professional. It must be true. And the fact that I can hardly breathe with this thing on, and I can't talk, and you can't see my face, and kids are being traumatized by learning that faces are evil and all this stuff. Well, that's just because I'm not even a doctor and I don't understand the deeper significance and benefit. So I just have to obey authorities because it's our only chance to make it. That's the level of hypnosis, and you might say a kind of mental derangement or insanity, that the general population in this mental hospital has. and they're running around showing it, and they believe all these authorities and give them power. And it's a psychological game, and that's why the main push of the authorities is to keep us terrified and dependent. That's the reason why they want universal basic income, and they're teaching the kids in college that that's a really good thing, that the communist principles are brilliant, you know, and why didn't we realize it sooner? It's the reason that they want that as a tool. It's not because they love us and they want to give us free money. They realize two things. One is it'll bring the value of the money to zero because they keep producing this massive amounts of money. You know, this was a real damaging thing that Trump did, and Biden's going to do it even worse, and people are doing it all over the world. If you print more money and the goods and services stay the same, which or decrease, the money by mathematical formula loses value in proportion to the amount of excess money that's printed compared to the goods and services that it can buy. Really easy. You do not have to have even a scout badge in economics. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to be an economist. You don't have to go talk to an economist. It's like what they used to call common sense when it was still common. Now it's almost gone, but it can come back. And so the other thing about universal basic income is it's conditional. So yeah, you get free money as long as you do think and say exactly what your rulers tell you. If you don't, they turn off your universal basic income until you get smarter or hungrier. And then you say, well, okay, I did believe in all this stuff about freedom and that, but I know better now. If you believe in freedom and free speech and rights to firearms ownership and self-defense and freedom of movement and travel and all this stuff, then the result of that is you starve to death and you can't go out of your house and you have all these other ramifications. So I apologize for doing that, and I understand now the rulers are wise and we just do whatever they say and we get paid. That's what the quantum dot stuff is about, that's being injected into people. It will become, according to the plan, the financial system as well. So the large majority of patients in this mental hospital are believing that kind of what should be the most obvious nonsense. Okay. And so if you let it go that way, if you have any common sense left about, you know, interpreting what that means, it's not going to be good. So there needs to be a different alternative. And this is where we get to the idea of the silver lining. Because to be honest, I don't see a silver lining on the normal level, the usual level, the physical outcome level. And, you know, I mean, if it does happen on that level and the so-called white hats that are talked about everywhere are going to come in and save society and turn everything around, that's fine with me. I have no objection. No objection at all. But there's so many historical examples of people waiting for some kind of white hats that don't show up, and then they get, to put it mildly, very disappointed. And I don't want to see that outcome. So any kind of white hats that want to show up, great. Please, you know, you should have shown up a long time ago. It would be good to do it very soon if you're going to. If you're there, if you're organized, if you have a way to do it, if you have the resources that supposedly you have. Some stories have the white hats owning millions of tons of gold, and, you know, all this incredible stuff is going to happen. But I can tell you, even with gold, even with a sound money system, if you shut down production, the money's not going to buy anything because there's nothing to buy. You have to have a system where, you know, universal basic income is meant to destroy production. And so that even if you're given $1 million an hour of universal basic income and nobody's outgrowing the food or running the factories or anything like that, you're going to have to eat your $1 million an hour because there won't be any food. So that's not a good strategy. It's not a good plan, because until you no longer have the problem of needing to eat food and use things, you know, products and technologies and things. Somebody has to be motivated to do those things, right? That's called a free market, and that's really important to bring back really soon, like right away. So where's the silver lining? The silver lining is, as far as I can see, and I'm interested in your take on the silver lining too, because getting black-pilled and defeated and disillusioned and despairing and everything is exactly what you're supposed to do according to the negative plan. So I would really suggest not to fall for that. That's not a smart idea at all. No matter how well you justify it and you think it sounds really smart, it's not really smart. So here it is. When things get hard, at some point people realize, they start to become aware of what is going on and has been going on for a long time. And they think, wait a minute, this is unacceptable. You know, like David Icke has talked about, I shouldn't say his name, he's banned everywhere too. But he says, when people become conscious of this stuff because of the pressure and they see the negative trajectory and, wait, maybe the authorities don't actually love me. Maybe that's not why they're trying to suffocate me and crush my business. Maybe they don't really have my best interests in mind. And maybe I shouldn't follow suicidal orders that are just called mandates of some kind or another, regulations or whatever. The regulation that you have to kill yourself is really not a valid regulation. I know that sounds shocking, but it really isn't. And so the silver lining comes from one place, and that's people shaking off the programming, people in the mental hospital waking up and realizing, wait a minute, this looks like a big mental hospital. Why would we all want to do this? Why do we want to continue playing the part of the patients in a big hospital where the patients and the staff, the monitors of this program, the high-level spy agencies, the high-level health directors, in other words, the staff of the hospital, and they're all insane too. That doesn't sound like a very good hospital, you know, even if it was certified somewhere. We probably shouldn't stay in it. So how do you get out of the hospital? You get yourself healthy. And fortunately, with consciousness, you don't need drugs for that. You don't need injections. You don't need outside help. It's already in you. The silver lining is who you are. And that's not a like second rate silver lining. That's a really great silver lining, because it's not subject to the limitations of the physical level at all. It affects the physical level. That's been shown over and over again, that consciousness, not just an idea, but a real change in awareness of yourself, affects physical level events, people, the mindset of other people. It can start spreading a wave of awakening, meaning those patients can be let out of the hospital. They can even wake up the staff. They can even wake up the so-called bad people. If there's one thing that the staff of this hospital, and well, I won't even say them, not the staff of the hospital, because they don't know what's going on, but the people at the top who own the hospital and who built it and who ran it to destroy everybody in it, if they're most afraid of one thing, it's the actors who are playing those characters in the hospital waking up and saying, wait a minute, I'm not the character, I'm the actor. I'm playing the part of this insane person, right? And I've been doing that really convincingly up to now in my life. But that's not who I am. It's a role. And I was always free to stop playing it. It's like in The Wizard of Oz, if you guys saw that, it's a good movie and it's very symbolic. And Dorothy was looking for a way to get back to Kansas. In other words, not the new normal, but the real normal, where she came from. She was trying to figure out all these people who could help her get back there. Ultimately, this great wizard who turned out to be a fraud, much like the rulers of the world now. And she was told in the end, oh, you see those, your shoes, they're not, they're, she's been hiking all over the world trying to find the people to send her back to Kansas. And she said, oh, I'm not wearing hiking shoes, am I? They're these bright red ruby slippers made out of rubies, you know, precious stones. And it turns out that they always had the power to bring her back where she came from. And that's the ending of the story is really good. Even though she's lost in a place that looks like there's no way out, and the whole world of Oz seems to be completely, you know, insane. And compared to the mental hospital that we're in, Oz is great. I mean, this place is, has serious issues, but we have the same ability to go back. And once we start waking up to that, not in something you memorize, not in a new belief system, not something that you just look really impressive by telling others, I'm talking about internal experience. That's not just, you know, imaginary stuff. That's real. And the silver lining actually is integrated with who we are already. We don't have to go out and find it. If that wakes up, which is what scares the top level rulers the most, and they shouldn't be scared of it because we, it's so powerful, we could rescue them from their programming too. It's really true. So, but it scares them because it would shut down the whole mental hospital and all the patients and staff could go home. So that's the silver lining. Understanding that beyond just saying, oh, that's interesting, let's go to the next program. That is not going to give you any benefit at all. You know, if you're one of the people who can recognize that, wow, this is not just an interesting thing to mention. This is like something real, and you could work with it. You could build on it. You can transform your whole life. And that's the prerequisite to helping anybody else. Because really, we can only help the other people in this hospital if we get our own sanity back first. Otherwise, it's just nonsense conversations that don't go anywhere. So I'm encouraging you and me and all of us to actually do that. And that the silver lining is that's just not some delusional idea of people in a really bad situation. That's real. It's more real than the hospital. And we can do it. And lots of people have done it themselves. You don't need a crowd or with other people to encourage you. Or we started a group that is supportive of those who can grasp that this may actually be real and learning the aspects of it. And if you really want to do that, we do have that group that you can be part of if you want. It's called Planetary Healing Club. Not all these projects that you go out and do just on the outside. It's recognizing that you got to do it on the inside first. And I'd like to see people from all the different parts of the world working with us in that, if you feel like it. If you have questions about it, you can email richard@lostartsradio.com and I'll get to it as quick as I can. If you want to access that group, it's at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're there live every Saturday, half an hour after this show ends. And that's interactive, non-censored, and it gets interesting. Otherwise, do it on your own. Do it however you want. But the silver lining is not some magic external project somewhere. All those projects are ready to take off when you change internally. You can't skip that step and get the same result. So that's the message on that. That's not a small silver lining. That's a huge silver lining that basically can become everything. It's not just a passing mirage. It's real. But you won't know that unless you get brave enough to actually do what's required. Transform your own life. Fix your physical body. Learn the health information that's being suppressed that you need, that you can use yourself. And then get the consciousness work done at the same time. That's where the power is. And I would tell you if it's somewhere else that I knew of. That's the only place I know of. If you find anything else, great. But I think you got to start with yourself. And saying you believe something is not enough. You're going to have to do the work at some point. So anyway, this is our Saturday Lost Arts Radio live show. Really glad that you're here. And nice to kind of indirectly know you through the internet while we still have access to that. I appreciate it. I personally think you're a great person. And I don't just say that as a thing to say. I mean, words sound trite and minor, and I don't mean it that way at all. I think the key to get, you know, awakening the people in this hospital is you and I and each person who wants to breaking out of their hypnotic trance, say, wait a minute, that's not who I am. That's a character I was playing. If you're brave enough, you ask that question and then act on it. And it's something great on the inside. It's not subject to limitations, but it requires some things to do. Anyway, so this is Saturday, and we have our Sunday show tomorrow and every Sunday, where we have inspiring individuals and organizations and projects that hopefully will give you ideas of what individuals can do right in our current environment. All the archives of that are free. Current shows are free. That's going to be tomorrow night at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time and 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And all, you don't have to go there at the right time anyway. It's on all kinds of platforms, audio, video, everything. The archives are there, so whenever it's convenient, you can take a look. And it's going to be a good show tomorrow. I think you'll enjoy it. Announcements are up on lostartsradio.com. If you want to help us survive and stay on the air, you could donate if you want to. We're not doing commercials, so that's the way we survive. I can contribute a little to the nonprofit that is in charge of our project by doing one-on-one sessions, but I don't have a lot of time for that. I do some. But mostly it's donations, and then anybody that wants to join Planetary Healing Club and work further on this stuff, they're very small dues for that. So if we get a lot of people joining, we might be able to fund our projects that we have waiting, which include building a physical school that you might find interesting. And one possible configuration of that school that was actually written before this terrifying pandemic that we're in, different conditions. You can read it. It's on lostartsresearchinstitute.org. That's our nonprofit. And if you have questions about that, you know, feel free to share them too. Any comments or suggestions for Sunday shows, anything you want us to cover, stuff that you think is important that you'd like us to get into. These shows, the only reason we're taking the time is it's supposed to be useful in some way, hopefully, for you guys. And that's it. So we're all helping each other the best we can. And bottom line, the silver lining is real. You got to get to where it is, but you have access no matter who you are or where you live or what your situation is. So I'm suggesting consider paying attention to that and doing something with it. It gets better and better once you make that decision. So anyway, we're over time as usual. Those of you who want to be in our meeting in Planetary Healing Club, you could probably still do that for tonight's meeting if you feel like it. PlanetaryHealingClub.com, instructions of how to get in. Otherwise, have a great rest of the weekend or whatever part of the week it is where you are. Take care of yourself on the deepest level you can, on all levels, and that's how you help everybody else. Have a good week, and we'll see you soon. Meet you here back next time.